Agriculture and Natural Resources on this Thursday, May 10th. And with that, we will continue, open a public hearing on Senate Bill 840, which we were hearing last week.
804.
Thank you. My dyslexia comes through in
That's
weird ways
okay.
sometimes. So thank you.
We all have it.
804. And we had a couple people who were on the list last time who didn't get a chance to speak, and I think they're here. So, and if other people want to add to that, we can. Larry Harvey and Molly Schaefer, I think, were both here last time. And thanks for coming back. Sorry that we had to do it that way.
Good afternoon, Chair Roblin and members of the committee. My name is Larry Harvey, for the record. I am here on behalf of Safari Club today. One of the gentlemen that did not get to return today was Doug Stromberg, and he is now out of state and won't be back for a while. Nevertheless, he did fax to me a letter voicing some concerns that he has with 804, and that letter is being distributed to you now. I copied it front to back to save paper. And he has some suggestions in there. So beyond that, obviously I'm going to read it to you, but it is available for the record, and he did want to make sure that his concerns were noted for the committee members. I have nothing else to add at this point, personally.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's my turn?
Yep.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, I'm Molly Schaefer. I've been raising animals, some exotic, some not, in the state for over 22 years. I'm here to talk to you about Senate Bill 804 with some concerns. Reading the bill, it just looks to me like this: we are trying to give Fish and Wildlife back the authority to define wild mammal and wild bird. But I think if anybody reads that with ORS 498, which reads, "Wildlife is the property of the state. No person shall purchase, sell, or exchange, or offer to purchase, sell, or exchange any wildlife or any part thereof." It's not quite so inconsequential in my mind. In theory, and again, I'm not saying Fish and Wildlife intends to do this. I'm just saying there's nothing in the bill that keeps this from happening. In theory, the state could take ownership of non-indigenous animals, including pet store animals, which would include gerbils and hedgehogs. Those are both non-indigenous. Exotic animals from monkeys to kangaroos, and domestic livestock, as a lot of them are imported. We have Watusi cattle. We have Zebu cattle. A lot of the sheep and goats are imports and so forth. There's not an exemption in 804 for the above animals that are currently regulated by ODA and USDA. That concerns me. I wish there was an exemption. And there's no provision to reimburse citizens whose animals may be redefined, leaving those animals valueless and illegal property of the state. The other concern I have is it could potentially remove a large amount of authority from Department of Ag and the USDA by redefining animals that those branches of government already regulate. Again, I'm sure they have no intention of wanting to regulate these animals, but there's nothing in the bill that keeps them from doing it. I'll call your attention again to ORS 498, where it says wildlife is property of the state. I believe when that was written, what that was telling the people was that the native animals of the state belong to the state. And I don't think that they would have thought the intent would be changed to include non-indigenous species. So my concern is that the original intent of this bill may be lost or manipulated over time also. So the wording on the bill concerns me a lot. I don't want my animals to become state property. I had an idea, and I don't know if it would be agreeable to people or not, but currently I think part of the reason the whole task force was originally formed was because there are some animals that have been released. I know there's some Audad in the Deschutes County. There's an eland up here on Highway 22 just outside Salem. And the state does not have authority to kill those animals. Therefore, they run free. It would be my suggestion that maybe the state would adopt a program where the owner has 96 hours or whatever you guys deem fair to gather their animals back up and retake possession of them, or the state has open season on them. And personally, being an animal owner, if I can't get my animal back in 96 hours, I'm going to go shoot it myself. So if the state wants to do that, that's fine. I wouldn't have a problem with that. And in my opinion, then we wouldn't have to be so concerned about deleterious animals and non-indigenous animals being loose running around the state causing problems. Just something to think about.
Yeah. Questions? Representative McPherson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Folks, I'm trying to understand the concern here because the language of the bill, 804, uses wild in both the circumstances here. That is, wild birds as defined by commission rule and other wild mammals as defined by commission rule. So I would say pet animals that are confined in a pet store, for example, wouldn't be wild animals under that definition. At least I didn't see a definition of wild here, but I guess my common meaning interpretation is it's animals that are running at large, that are not confined or domesticated. Is there something I'm missing?
Yeah, Chair Roblin, Representative McPherson, in the past, the Fish and Wildlife Task Force Commission has actually addressed non-indigenous species more than wild indigenous species. So they have regulated pet store animals. They have regulated exotic trade animals. And if you were to review the OARs, you would see that most of the animals listed there are animals from other countries that are imports.
They gave us a list of those and testimony last week from ODF&W. And if you look at them, there are a whole bunch of animals that are on those lists that are not indigenous. And I think in their testimony, they did explain that when they were making these rules, their understanding of wildlife was that if it was wildlife from any other place and it roamed wild someplace in the world, it was considered wildlife. And that way, they took that in writing their other rules to identify those. And I think that was part of the testimony. And we'll call them back up a minute later to do that. But that's my understanding. And
right.
That the problem that took place was the Supreme Court case in which they were fighting about another particular situation. The Supreme Court defined wildlife as those animals that run free in Oregon as being only those indigenous to Oregon were considered wildlife that the state had. The others weren't, which put at risk all of the other rules that they've propagated since then that deal with animals that were not indigenous to the state.
So, Mr. Chair, if I could understand, just kind of getting refreshed on this, Senate Bill 804 is a response to the Supreme Court decision in order to create authority for the rulemaking that they'd already done.
Right.
So I'll have to go back and do a follow-up question if I could.
Please.
So is the concern that with the rules they have already in place, which need this authority under 804 to be in place, to be valid, or is it concern about what other rules they might adopt pursuant to this authority?
Chair Roblin, Representative McPherson, a little bit of both. The concern is, we'll take, let's say, a kinkajou, which is a little honey bear from South America. It's currently on their approved list, but it is considered wildlife. It's approved wildlife, but it is wildlife. And according to ORS 498, wildlife is the property of the state. No person shall sell or exchange wildlife.
And let me make that explain. 498 is a different bill that, for whatever reason, has been connected to this bill. I don't think there... From my perspective, there shouldn't be a connection. I keep that one totally separate. It's a separate issue from my perspective. Is that not the case?
Mr. Chair, okay. Representative McPherson, I think we're referring to ORS 498.
Oh, I'm sorry. Gotcha. Yeah. But that one does connect.
Yeah. Okay. You confused me for that.
Absolutely directly. There was another bill that was going along with this.
Oh, okay. No, I wasn't referring to a bill. I'm sorry.
Gotcha.
ORS 498.
Gotcha. ORS 498 does say the wildlife is the property of the state. And that, in fact, was part of the reason that the Supreme Court ruled the way they did.
Correct.
Exactly.
And I'm concerned. I have several hundred thousand dollars invested in my animals. I really don't want that to become property of the state.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Maurer, Representative
McPherson. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I knew it was going to do a little research here.
Is there a way that this could be worded to make it acceptable to relieve the concerns of the community that's opposed to it and still get to where the department needs to be. And I have yet to hear any language that might get us there. And to be quite honest, I haven't asked.
Right. My intention would be, this is the first time we've really had the opposition testify. For the most part, there might have been one person last time at the end.
Well, yeah. We did.
But now that we've got that information, I was going to call the department back up to see and ask them some questions about the same thing.
Okay.
To come to some kind of solution that you're asking about.
Because it's always better.
Right.
To be
right. I mean, my... And I guess that's the question. I have one question for you. If we could get back to what the department was doing previous to this case, would you be okay with that?
I have, honestly, Chair Roblin, I'm sorry, I have actually have some concerns. I sat in originally on those Wildlife Commission meetings. I sat in on every single one every month for over a year. There was a committee of people which did not include anybody from the private sector. And at the time, we even went so far as to hire an attorney to try and get representation from the private sector. We never got it. I still feel like we haven't got it. A lot of us have hands-on experience where the people on the committee had book experience. And I feel like we could offer a lot to those meetings and perhaps relieve some of their fears, particularly. I'll give you an example of the civet cat is on... I will not call them a civet cat because they're truly not a cat. They're civet, which is a separate phylum by themselves. So civets are banned in Oregon. They're on a prohibited list. And the reason we were given is because they went feral in the country of Spain. Civet cats are banned from import to the United States by the CDC since the SARS outbreak. There's very few civets that are in this country currently. All the ones that are held are captively held, captively bred. There's very, very, very few. Chances of a population of civets getting out in Oregon to procreate and have a large enough gene pool to do any damage whatsoever is in my opinion, 0%. And those are just some of the things that, you know, that Fish and Wildlife, I don't think, is aware of a lot of the federal laws, where those of us that are in this business are aware of the federal laws. And honestly, they went to a lot of work on several different species that they really didn't need to do the work on because they're not an issue. They're banned from federal import.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, in response to Representative Maurer's question, I think there's a couple of areas that could help to lead down a path towards some agreement. Part of it has to do with an agreement that, as was just mentioned, with the United States Department of Agriculture. And I think that if we can reincorporate that agreement along with what is already defined as livestock in ORS 607, a lot of the concerns would go away. But the state of Oregon has an existing agreement that they've operated under with USDA for quite some time. And we would just need to honor that. And perhaps if that were a part of a guideline, that would help to move us along.
I was just going to say that, you know, I think I would like to hear from the department about that, with that and other things. Some of the work we've done on the other bill, actually, that talks about, you know, USDA licenses are exempted from exotic, and maybe some of that has to come into here, too.
That would be very agreeable to me.
That might be one way to address it.
My next question would, I guess, be... any more questions for these two? There's one other person who I didn't get before, John Turner. Is John here? Oh, good. Come on, John. I thought you were, but I think it was pointed out. Had not had a chance to speak yet, so... Before we bring them back, we'll get you, and then we'll get Ode.
Can I just ask one clarifying question of Beth?
Sure.
If I'm reading the bill right, the part that we're amending in here already exists in the law, the turd and other wild mammals. It already exists in the law. It just was sort of it wasn't clear that wild mammals was then defined by commission rule.
That's right.
Okay.
Well... We had a definition we thought was there. The definition was changed by the Supreme Court ruling. They need to now make a definition. From what I've heard, the definition that they want to do is get back to where they were before the ruling by the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
They had a working definition of what wildlife was. They've been using that.
what kind of list of different things that are managed by...
Well, they've made the list based on their previous definition of wildlife.
Right, right.
And that definition got changed by the Supreme Court ruling, and now they would like to get back to similar. Yeah, I've got to check on mine now, too. If you have a cell phone that may be on and you should turn it off, I could be one of those people with mine on silent. Okay. I wish one might have been out. Okay. With that, John.
Chair Roble, members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity. My name is John Turner, representing myself and other concerned citizens. I'm actually very encouraged to hear that Fish and Wildlife's aim in this is just getting back to where they were before, because many of our concerns with this bill is, based on the wording, where it could be, where it could head, even without the intention of Fish and Wildlife. To accomplish their goal, the way Senate Bill 804 is worded, it would bestow on one organization and perhaps even one official the power to declare pretty much any animal the property of the state and take it without compensation, as has been already discussed here. For other, when this happens in other places, there's procedures, there's rules, there's compensation with taking right of way for cities and states. So with the laws around this, if it was used in that form, there could be a lot of litigation that this could open the state up to. Fish and Wildlife currently exempts maybe 300 or 400 species, but my understanding is if a species is not specifically exempted, then it is prohibited. Since primates, exotic felines, and many other species are not on any of these lists, my interpretation would be that they would be prohibited under this Senate bill if it went through. Currently, Fish and Wildlife doesn't have OARs specifically targeted to these animals, such as the primates and the exotic felines, like the Department of Agriculture does. They haven't regulated them in the past, and it would require some effort to come up to speed if they intended to regulate them, which I've been told that currently they're not intending to, but I know that there are folks who would like to see that happen, maybe not in the department, but outside of it. So with this definition, the Fish and Wildlife could pull any species away from management by the ODA, which is currently managing these animals, which gives me great concern. And furthermore, if these animals do get on a prohibited list, the Fish and Wildlife's grandfather clause, existing animals would be grandfathered in, but they could not be transported. And what I've seen this happen in other states where similar things have happened, that means if you have current animals and they become sick, or if you need to move your facility, it's basically a death sentence because you can't transport it to a specialist or a vet, it can't go out of state, your animal is gone. There's nothing exempting USDA licenses, as was mentioned. There are businesses that would be affected by this. But since the Fish and Wildlife just wants to get back to where they were, perhaps some wording could be added which would exempt animals currently regulated by the ODA. That would go a long ways to addressing some of these concerns, exempting animals that are currently regulated by the USDA, as Representative Clem mentioned. And the other problem, of course, is how the phrasing, how it's interpreted that animals that aren't on the list are banned. if it could be if that could be turned around, and if it to be if it's not listed, it is not banned. But to get on the banned list, there would be a process for making an animal a banned animal or a prohibited animal, which involved public input. That would also address some of the concerns I have with this bill. Alternately, 804 could be amended to state that the prohibited animals shall be permitted by Fish and Wildlife if they wanted to permit these animals. The key word there being shall, rather than may. So under these conditions, a permanent facility or an individual that meets current ODA requirements or similar could be granted a permit and not denied a permit just because whatever changes an organization feel that they don't have the resources to issue a permit or don't wish to issue a permit. Thank you. Any questions?
Any questions? I guess my only question would be, I get concerned personally on the switching the exclusion around from only because there are animals out there that we may not have thought about, and all of a sudden somebody starts bringing them in, and it's too late if they get introduced and start causing the damage that they could cause. And we have seen some of those things happen in other countries when they've introduced a species thinking this would be a great agricultural species, then it gets out and takes over because it has a much better chance in this new environment than it ever had in its other environment. And that those kind of things worry me. So I would rather they were vetted before they had the opportunity to cause the problem that they could cause. I look at what mitten crabs have done down. I mean, as a species that has come in, you know, and someone brought it in probably because they liked eating them, and all of a sudden the San Francisco Bay Area and the diking systems are at risk because they like to bore and dig holes. And now that's not part of this group because we're not talking about seafoods, but there are those animals that can create real damage to us from time to time. I was looking at in Southern California, not an exempt animal, but the bunnies that got loose in this one little town have just about dug holes through one school building and starting to fall because they didn't try to control the population that got away. A little town in Northern California, it was on the news the other day, they had let this population of rabbits just go.
Rabbits,
yeah. And they have done very well at what rabbits do. And so they are putting at risk the one side of this building that the school was on. And everybody thought they were really cute, but they forget that they burrow, they do a lot of things that can cause damage. So that's my concern about that one. But I do understand the concerns. So thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
At this time, I would love to have Fish and Wildlife come on up. I do. Mm-hmm. I read it.
Good afternoon, Chair Roblin. For the record, my name is Roy Elker, Deputy Director for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. To my right, Mr. Bill Cook, Department of Justice.
Thank you. We're looking for the Supreme Court decision. We had one handed to us by one of our testifiers. But when they copied it, they only copied every other page. So it has some places. But you gave me a full copy, so I had one full copy. So if you look through yours, the rest of our members, if you look through the case you have every other copy, every other page instead of.
And Chair Roblin, if I could ask Representative McPherson, does he need a copy of our Division 56 rules, perhaps?
I do have that, actually.
Okay. I was going to make a few comments.
I would love to have a comment
respond
first.
And
yes.
Then take questions. I, members of the committee, I think your discussion here is very indicative of why this issue of jurisdiction over wildlife and what is wildlife needs to be not a legislative process, but a commission process, where the commission and the staff of Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife will literally spend hundreds of hours on this issue, with consultation on USDA and consultation with Oregon Department of Agriculture, and consultation with exotic pet owners, and consultation with the folks who are very worried about invasive species. In other words, things like this. This Division 56 rule literally is tens to hundreds of staff hours and commission time to come up with a list like this, and the work of hundreds of hours of volunteer time of a stakeholder group that was put together with wildlife professionals, university types, on-the-ground types, to work on a list like this. And that kind of process cannot be done here in this legislative process. It's way too time extensive and too detail oriented. It's a place for the commission or a similar body to hammer this out. And I'm happy to say on the record today that if this bill passes and if there's a stakeholder group to work on this, then Molly Schaefer and the other gentleman from Zoc Pets, we will have a seat at the table for them as well as others. Because it's that kind of process that it takes to come up with a good result. And members of the committee, in discussions with Chair Roblin, we were asked a day or two ago, could we not come up with a definition, as you've said, Representative Maurer, maybe something that you'd rather like to define rather than turn us over to the department and commission. And we attempted several overnight with Bill Cook and members of our staff. But the problem is, every time you think you have something that works, then someone will say, well, what about the USDA issues? What about the Department of Ag issues? What about these other issues? And so that's why you need more of a process to come to a good result rather than us spending a few hours or spending overnight and we're coming up with a quick definition that seems to work on its face. But as soon as you leave the building, within a few months, we'll find some exception or some problem, and then we'll have me come back next session. So that is why, really, your discussion here is very indicative of all the issues that need to be thought of as we, if this bill passes, we need to restore our authority on invasive mammals and birds. I guess the other thing I want to say is, and as you said, Chair Roblin, not a day goes by with more and more there isn't an issue with invasive species. And here are the two within the last 24 hours. Wednesday, one of our fish biologists saw a houseboat on the freeway in I-5 being driven, and he saw it down at Medford, and he saw that the license plates were from Missouri. So he immediately just thought ahead and is so sharp. Dan Van Dyke's his name. He is so sharp. He immediately thought invasive species. That Mississippi River system is full of zebra mussels, absolutely chock full, and those things are just so destructive here. And we don't have them yet, but everybody's scared to death of them. So he actually called, and through a process with the cops, he got a hold of the operator of who was doing the escort of the houseboat and somehow figured out that it was coming from Missouri and what it came from Mississippi River, whatever. And anyway, it went through Oregon, and they stopped it over in Vancouver, Washington, right across the border, because Washington got notified, and Washington has protocols, traffic protocols, that they can stop a car or a boat that, you know, that's crossing the state line, that they can check it for invasive species. And they checked it, and it was literally coated with dead zebra mussels. Wow. It had been out of the water since February, and so the zebra mussels were dead. But they had no on the surface of the hull, but they had no way of checking the in-water holding tanks, and they suspected that was full of zebra mussels too. So they poured chlorine in that to kill whatever was in the holding tanks, and then let it go on its way. And that was all on the news, the local news up in Portland, just a day ago. And then the second article, and I don't know if this made.
I had a bill about that.
What's that?
I had a bill introduced about that.
It was almost like that. So then, I don't think there's any charge or anything on that stop. But when I talked to, we've already talked to the Oregon State Police about protocols about stopping boats crossing state line. So then, the other issue came up is in this wildlife newsletter I saw. The Federal Wildlife Services is now undertaking this big, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars, the eradication of the Gambian giant pouched rat, which has been escaped from exotic pet dealers and owners in Florida, now inhabits at least one of the Florida Keys, maybe more than one, and they're doing this extensive, and it has to do with that other bill, the video control. Well, they're doing all this closed-circuit TV, rat poisoning of the Gambian giant pouched rats. But, I mean, literally, within the last 24 hours, that was invasive species issues. So I guess the bottom line is you need a public process to sort all this out. And not everybody is always happy with the result. But there are real risks to Oregon over invasive species and other wildlife stuff. And that's why it's a good bill. And that's why the process right now with the commission, I think, is a fair one that will hear, try and hear everybody's concerns. May not be able to meet everyone's concerns, but it's a way for the public to interact rather than trying to come up with a quick fix that works for here and then later may not work. So I appreciate the opportunity for those remarks, Chair Roble. Thank you.
Questions? I guess I have a couple if no one else. The first one would be, is the intention of the Department of Fish and Wildlife to expand their control over different species? Or is it to get back to where we were, where we have control over things that we had prior to this bill?
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, and we spoke to Molly and I think John just prior to you going in session. It's been our intention with 804 to restore the status quo of our authority over wild mammals and wild birds. Any discussion about us looking to extend authority over species we currently don't have authority for or Department of Ag has, as I told Molly and John in the back, Department of Ag's not. I've talked quite a bit to Lisa Hansen, Department of Ag. No indication that they're unhappy with the animals they have authority over or they're looking to shift that jurisdiction to us, and nor would we be willing to do that, I think. And now, I can't speak for the commission, but it's our intention from the department to restore the situation we had prior to the Supreme Court. That's the intention of 804 as we speak here today.
So, Gunnar, on that one, there is no intention from the department, and you would express that to the commission, to take on any animals that ODA is currently in control of.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, there's currently no intention of the department to somehow wrestle jurisdiction away from the Department of Ag on animal species or mammals and birds that I am aware of as deputy director.
This bill gives, as you have heard from people, and as I read it, some pretty broad authority to the department in making this definition. And I guess what I would like to see is that, and there's no right now indication that this has to come back for approval at some point to the legislature. It's just they get to do it, and it goes on. So they could change that definition at some point. I guess my statement is I think that it should come back once the definition is defined, and we should actually put it into statute and make it what the definition is, and then we can go through this process again if we have to. But I would feel much more comfortable if, in fact, there was a deal that says after this process is done and we come up with a definition, that we then bring that back at the next legislative session and put it in statute that this is the definition that we all believe we can live with. Is that a problem for the department, do you think, or not?
Well, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I don't know if it's a problem. I mean, certainly any member of the legislature and any citizen could come back with a bill to change the definition if they didn't like it, that what came out of the commission process. But again, it will be a public process. There will be folks that aren't, 100% satisfied with the result at the end on both sides. There's plenty of people, unlike the Exotic Pet Association, there are plenty of people who think that a lot of these animals, whatever ag is jurisdiction or whatever, I know there's people on both sides of the issue probably think that right now there's too many kinds of animals allowed here or not, and then on the other side there's probably like the gentleman said, well, if it's not on the list we should be allowed to own it rather than not, which is currently the case. So you're going to have both sides on this, and that's why you have a public process. I have no problem if part of the, in the end, if we come back and give a formal report to this committee in next session or whatever the committee would like. I mean, it's always difficult, I think, for the legislature to pick up a public process as one of the extents of this. And I mean, certainly, you can certainly write a bill and drop a bill to that.
Well, I mean, my only issue is that for the previous, when did ODFMW start using their implied definition of wildlife?
I think it dates, go ahead, Bill.
Chair Roblin, 1979.
Okay. So we have had a working definition since 1979, and yet I haven't seen that proposed as the definition that we would want to have today.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I think the issue is because Bill may come in here, but the way it was defined prior to the Supreme Court case, it was defined by species. And that's why Division 66 exists, because we defined it as species unlisted. rather than an animal that's free and untamed or an animal does this or an animal does that. See, we actually went through, is that right, Bill?
Correct.
And so you're looking at the definition of wildlife right now in the list of, and for this particular case, the list of mammals that are either exempted or non-exempted, or the list of birds that are either exempted or non-existent. That's what Division 56 defines for the purposes of wildlife for birds and mammals.
With respect to if those are defined, this 804, is that the other statute?
No, the 498 is 498. The general wildlife policy statute.
How about the policy that says that wildlife are the owned by the state? Why would those listed there not be owned by the state currently?
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, if I could talk about that statute. There is a statute that indeed says that wildlife are the property of the state. That does not mean that the state actually holds title to individual animals that private parties hold, because there are other statutes that the legislature has enacted that indicate very clearly that private parties may hold individual wildlife and own them. 497-228, for example, gives the commission the authority to license wildlife propagation. And it says you can license the business of propagating game birds or game mammals for sale. So the AG has looked at this and has said it's clear that the legislature recognized it was all right to hold individuals under certain circumstances and to own them and to sell them, propagate them. Our understanding of that property of the state language is that it's by now a sort of archaic way of expressing the state's public trust interest in wildlife, to say that the state has a very deep interest in wildlife aimed primarily at the wildlife that is running free and owned by nobody. But because of that strong public interest, the state also has an interest in regulating privately held and privately owned individual wildlife.
Another question on that same line then. In the Supreme Court ruling in their definition of wildlife, wasn't it really from that part of the statute that they came up with their interpretation of wildlife?
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, the case involved a couple different statutes.
Right.
Some of the game statutes use the word wildlife, and others use the term game mammal, game bird. So the court was looking at both of those. The court had some difficulty with the wildlife definition in those statutes and said, we think you've been too broad. We are narrowing that definition. But when they looked at the game mammal definition, they said game mammal definition does not have that wild component. So we believe that you can regulate under those statutes regardless of whether the individuals are privately held or running free in the wild. So the court was looking at two different statutory interpretation issues.
So in other words, Chair Roblin, and be more specific, so on the game mammal statute, and that defines game mammal is deer, elk. Okay, so when you got to the deer and elk, the court said whether deer and elk are behind a wire and held domestically or deer and elk are out free, roaming free, either way, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife and the Commission will regulate how those animals are treated, seasons, domestically, how they're held, what the rules will be. So the court upheld our deer and elk, what they call the cervid. Those are combined family called the cervididae. It upheld our cervid rules because deer and elk are game mammals, and they're always game mammals, whether they're behind a wire or not behind a wire. But on the more broad wildlife issues, that's where they kind of came up with the free and untamed issues for us.
And having having been free and wild in Oregon.
Yes, I believe so. Is that right, Bill?
Okay.
It does get complicated.
Which means that we currently have no definition at all for animals that were not from the state of Oregon and not already defined as game mammals.
Chair Roland, members of the committee, that's right. You were asking questions earlier about don't we need a straight-up definition of wild at this point, and I think we do. As Roy indicated, the commission for years had operated on a by-species list basis. Now that we have the Supreme Court's decision out there, it really is time to wrestle the definition of wild down and get a handle on that. It would be much clearer for everybody, for the agency and the regulated public, and because it's a word that is used in many different programs, we should have a definition, and then that would give everybody a guideline to use from there on.
Okay. Questions?
Actually, just a comment, Mr. Chair, which is that it appears to me that this is a highly technical area of activity, and one on which I think I would tend to defer to the experts rather than to try to make policy other than very broadly the way Senate Bill 804 does. So I think the authorization of the grant of rulemaking authority to the commission to decide whether we're going to have wild birds and other wild mammals included within the definition of wildlife is sounder policy than trying to decide it here and try to educate ourselves sufficiently for that purpose.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'm in concurrence with that.
Okay.
So I will be supporting the bill.
Any other questions? And I guess I would...
We're
not in a work session. We'll close the session. I'm just trying to decide if we should go to work. Well, we might as well.
We're all here. That's a rare opportunity.
Okay. we got to close down. We're going to thank you both. We're going to close our public hearing on 804. I think you're right. Yes. And we'll open a work session on 804.
Mr. Chair, would you like
there is an amendment.
This is the dash one.
The dash one.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 804.
Representative Dingfelder has moved that we accept the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 804. And basically what that does is put in an emergency clause so that they can get to work on this fairly quickly. Do I have any objections to the amendments? Seeing none. They're accepted.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of Senate Bill 804 as amended with the dash ones to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
So Representative Dingfelder has moved the Senate Bill 804 with the dash ones.
I guess I should move passage, not adoption.
Passage and adoption of Senate Bill 804 with the dash ones as amended to the House floor with a due pass. As amended, I guess is how I should say it. That's got all the words in it.
It's been
discussion.
A long day already today.
Yes, so. Discussion, yes.
I'm going to support the bill after hearing sort of the clarifications on the record on what will happen from here. I think it would be useful to look at the work we did over in the other bill about USDA license holders and things like that to see what you can do out there. It's ironic because I just was out in the hall just quickly touching base with someone on another issue entirely separate where I used to be on the other side of the table, and I couldn't understand why the legislature insisted on locking everything in statute while we had a commission that I served on to do it, and it cost like 6,000 students their scholarship because the legislative statute was too tight, and there was no way for a commission to make a change mid-year, and so 6,000 people didn't get their scholarships because they had to have it in statute. So I feel like I got to have some trust occasionally in other people, like our commissioners who were appointed, and the public process to go through this. And I understand people are worried, but I've seen bad results when the legislatures decide they just had to have every last thing under our control and not trust some of the folks that are out there.
And Mr. Chair, just to follow up, I think the department needs the flexibility given the urgency with endangered or invasive species, and I think that there has to be the flexibility for the department to respond. I mean, I can think of a number of invasive species that have just wreaked havoc on our habitat. Nutrias happens to be one of my least favorite, but you know, when I look at the impacts on riparian areas especially, I think that we need to have that flexibility. I'm concerned about having to come back here every 2 years or year, however that's going to be.
I'm going to, just for a brief moment, just take a moment. We have another bill that we were thinking about trying to get to today. It's about 5 to 4. Do we want to call us under over to reschedule it?
I mean, if we can be excused from the floor, we can. I don't know how much we have on the docket.
Oh, she's the first bill up, so we probably can't do that. So I think it's best to wait. Okay. I'll keep any other discussions on this bill. Yes, well, Representative Mallon.
I'm going to be a no vote. I think the issue of trust is something that clearly, in my short time here, that we seem to wrestle with quite often. And basically, this is a shot across the bow. May not be the right term, but to ensure that the department is doing, the commission is doing their job in the public interest, and they bring the right people to the table. But I also reserve the right to change my vote on the floor.
Other discussions? I guess what I would like to say is I appreciate the openness that the department was here with and the clear statements with respect to the ODA not wanting there to change those things. The invitation to our two people who have been fairly diligent at coming to these meetings to be a part of that was also appreciated by me. So given those things, I feel comfortable with this bill, but I would certainly do want the report back the next session. I do want to find out what really happens, and then I guess the legislature will have to decide if they want to put it in statute after we've got some definitions that people have come to agree. So,
Mr. Chair?
Yes,
I'll be a no vote, too. I was a little concerned when the agency made an invitation to the people to participate. Why weren't they allowed to before?
I don't, we haven't done this before.
No, I know.
But this one. But
they had to get a lawyer.
I understand. Yeah. That, in the other kind of commission meetings, I agree. I understand that.
Right. So yeah. I just think okay. We hurried this through and we need to take our time.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. With that, we'll have a roll call vote.
Representative Oakley.
Excuse.
Representative Clem.
Yes.
Representative Dinkover.
Hi.
Representative McPherson.
Hi.
Representative Maurer?
No.
Representative Smith?
No.
Chair
Roblin? Aye. It passes. And who would like to carry this wonderful bill?
Gee, I would.
I actually haven't carried a bill
okay.
from this committee, Mr. Chair, so I'd be happy to carry this.
That's Representative McPherson.
I'll make sure and ask him about nutria. When we,
okay.
Although well, it's not a wild bird, I will make
actually,
sure.
Actually, and I was thinking about nutria.
So was I.
That's for the chair.
Yes, I agree with him. We'll close our work session on Senate Bill 804, and with that, we have a few minutes until we have the other two bills that we had on today, which would be Senate Bill 149 and Senate Concurrent Resolution 4, will be held over to the next meeting. So, sorry about that. And with that, we will close our committee meeting of Ag and Natural Resources. Thank you. Thank you for coming. We have session.